Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles, and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 23rd of September 1923, and I might add, an episode that I never thought I'd publish, booze stats, disease stats, something nasty in London, and how to get away with murder. But first, the headlines. There has been tension on the border between Yugoslavia and Bulgaria, although it would appear that both sides have backed down. A murder trial in London has created a bit of a sensation. A Mrs. Farmy, a French woman married to a rich Egyptian, shot her husband in the back, killing him. I was going to cover this last week, but there wasn't the time. But had I done so, I was going to predict, you've got to believe me on this, that she was going to get off. As indeed she has. There is more to this story than appears in the pages of the Times. This lady has, as they say, a past. Some of it as a courtesan, some of it as a lover of the Prince of Wales. Cue the conspiracy theory that the trial was rigged to secure a not guilty verdict. Which is odd, because if you wanted to shut someone up, wouldn't hanging them be a pretty good way of going about it? There was some bad news in Monday's edition. This is from the 17th of September. The cabaret entertainment, which has been popular for so long on the continent and in America, appears to be securely establishing itself in London. And in spite of the restrictions placed on it by the authorities, the three principal entertainments of this kind, I am not quite sure what they might be, will once more be in full swing within a month. So what might those restrictions be? Under the new regulations laid down for London by the London County Council, a little more latitude is allowed to producers of cabaret entertainments than was the case a few months ago. But production in this country is still seriously hampered. In London, it is not permitted, in the case of a public entertainment, to give a performance in which the artists wear costume so long as liquor is being consumed. I think I'll read that again. It is not permitted, in the case of a public entertainment, to give a performance in which the artists wear costume so long as liquor is being consumed. And what, one wonders, constitutes costume? Bizarre as that law sounds, it didn't work. Cabaret grew until it featured in what seemed like every single episode of The Saint. But then the hippies came along, and it disappeared overnight. And now, after a long break, perhaps too long, it's time for Stats Corner. This is from Wednesday the 19th of September. Licensing statistics for the year 1922, dealing with the operation and administration of the laws relating to the sale of intoxicating liquor in England and Wales, were issued yesterday as a blue book, Command Paper 1923, price 6 shillings. So what does it reveal? There are 82,054 on-licenses, 22,108 off-licenses. In case you don't know, an on-licence is for sale for consumption on the premises, and an off-licence is for sale for consumption off the premises. There are 10,663 clubs. There were 76,347 convictions for drunkenness, 83% of which were men and 17% women. The article tells us that there is an increase in London, and a decline in the north, which it attributes to the economic conditions in London being much better than elsewhere. In 516 cases of conviction for drunkenness, the condition of the convicted person is reported to have arisen from the drinking of methylated spirit. So what are the statistics today? The government talks about there being 222,500 premises licences, but this seems to include on-licences, off-licences and entertainment. It also fails to explain how it is that so many pubs have closed down in recent years. I couldn't find a figure for drunkenness. It might come under the category of other public order offences, and the total there for the most recent years was about 70,000. If so, no change there. Or actually, there is a change considering there's a slightly higher population. Or maybe the police tend not to arrest people for that sort of thing anymore. About the only comparable figures I can find is for clubs, of which there are 13,500 in existence, as opposed to the 10,600 in 1923. We also have stats about disease. This is from Thursday the 20th. The annual report for 1922 of Sir George Newman, Chief Medical Officer to the Ministry of Health, was published last night. It is, on the whole, an encouraging document, for it recounts the decline of disease in many instances and indicates new ways in which old difficulties may be attacked. To give an instance of encouragement, infant mortality is down. When it comes to causes of death, respiratory diseases and heart disease top the list. And number three, we have 101 out of 1,000, odd way to do it, we have nervous system diseases. What are they, one wonders? Strokes, perhaps? Then 96 out of 1,000 is cancer, and 88 out of 1,000 is tuberculosis. There's a sign of the times right there. It goes on. Coming to the mortality from cancer, Sir George Newman presents a picture which cannot be regarded save with anxiety. It will be seen from the following table, which I won't be publishing, that the death rate for this disease is now more than seven times what it was in 1838. Now, my instant reaction to this was, well, cancer is a disease of the old, and people live much longer in 1923 than they did in 1838, so cancer rates are bound to increase. But Sir George had beaten me to the punch, and pointed out that if you are a man over the age of 75 in 1923, you are six times more likely to get cancer than in the 1850s. Which is mysterious. Air pollution, perhaps? Tuberculosis is on the way down. It goes on. Approved societies spent £5,707,000 on sickness benefit for men. Your occasional reminder that the welfare state did not begin in 1948. He concludes, we need sanitary homes in which it is possible to live a healthy life. And millions of our people have not got such homes. We need improved medical services, and in this respect, there has been extraordinary advance in the last 15 years. But much remains to be done. They always say that. I wonder what constitutes the sanitary home in 1923. Cleanliness, for sure. Being free from damp, ventilation, sunlight, spaciousness. Hopefully we'll find out. But it is important, because it is a phrase that gets used again and again. And finally, this is from Monday the 17th. The entire state of Oklahoma was put under martial law early today by Governor Walton, in answer to the challenge publicly made yesterday by the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, who declared that the state authorities would never be able to break up the power of his organization. In his proclamation, the governor said that hundreds of men and women had been severely beaten in Oklahoma and that the Klan was responsible for the outrages. He accused police, sheriffs, and even some judges of the district court of being subjects of the invisible empire or under its domination. Here today, he said, grand and petty juries are being called by a Klan judge to shield and protect the subjects of this empire. Police failing to arrest and courts failing to convict and punish because they agree with the perpetrator's political opinions. Couldn't happen today. Anyway, that's all for this week. I aim to have something up next week, but I promise nothing.